It is Monday. It is March the 4th. I am live with Noah Rubin as usual. We'll be touching on some injury news. Weekly update on Victor Wembanyama and just how good he is and how good he might be. The industry pickup league, it came down to the wire yesterday. We'll be discussing that. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. Joining me, as always, is Noah Rubin, at NoahRubin22. Noah, how was your week? We're going to talk about industry pickup, so we don't need to touch on that league, but outside of fantasy basketball, how has your week been?
Outside of fantasy basketball, my week was good. It was... I mean, there's not much to my week outside of fantasy basketball, it feels like, especially when we're in the prime part of the season. But overall, good week.
Yeah, we are in the prime part of the season. So probably fantasy playoffs for a lot of people. I think two of my five leagues that I'm in, playoffs start this week and then the rest of next week. Touched on the industry pickup league. Very briefly, we were talking about this before we jumped on, and then I thought, well, let's just talk about it on the show because it's relevant. So for those that aren't aware, Industry Pickup was a league we created this year with 12 analysts, standard 9-cat. Next year, we'll be expanding it to incorporate other formats as well. So there'll be a lot of analysts involved next year. Mitch Casey and I have been doing weekly breakdowns, but we haven't done one for a couple of weeks because he's been very busy. He's got football stuff because footy is starting over here in Australia. So he's busy with a lot of stuff. So heading into this week or the previous week, I was sitting seventh, top six make the playoffs. You were up against B-Dub and you were just behind me, I think, in the standings coming into the week. B-Dub was one ahead of me. Mike Catron was one ahead of him, but there wasn't much in it. And coming into the last day, I was leading Alex Barutha 7-2. So I needed to hold on to that victory. Actually, no, I was only leading 5-4, but I streamed in four players for the last day to bump up my field goal percentage and three-pointers, which worked. I won 7-2. I was watching Dan Titus and Mike Catron battle it out. And I needed Dan to win 5-3-1, which he did, until Fantrax updated their stats and gave an extra block to Mike. So Dan ended up winning 5-4, which meant I was half a game behind Mike Catron, and I thought I was done. But then Dan actually brought it to my attention that you came from nowhere. You were trailing heading into the last day against B-Dub, 6-3, I believe. And you ended up winning 5-4, which meant that I got beat up on percentages. to his disgust, he was bundled out of the playoffs and I snatched the sixth spot. So I have to thank you for continuing to set your lineup and going right till the end. And beat up, yeah, look, bad luck. What else can I say?
I know we talked about that last week about you saying that I needed to win 6-3, I think, to help you out. But you ended up winning 7-2, so it ended up working out just fine. But I know I needed to win 6-3 to even have a chance of things working out in my favor. But obviously with you winning 7-2, it didn't end up mattering all that much. But yeah, we talked about it because I had Embiid go down. I had Jimmy Butler kind of in and out of the lineup for a little while there. So I know I lost last week 7-2, and I was like, okay, like, I'm going to have some really big games from some guys that don't really give really big games in order to have a chance to kind of sneak in here. Sucks that I won 5-4. I know it helped you, but moved down in the standings after winning just because of the way that you and Mike Barner ended up getting wins. So yeah. Nice finish to the season. Obviously a little bit disappointing that I didn't make it into the playoffs, but I think you will be representing Fantasy Basketball International well. So
I will. Yeah. And it was, look, it was a really tight league, which I think is what we were after. So mm-hmm. going down to literally the last game of the season and with still in theory, four people sort of vying for two spots. As I said, I only finished half a game behind Mike out of fifth spot. So in that league, I believe it is Josh Lloyd and Drew Dinkmeyer have the bye in this week. I am up against Rhett Bauer. B-Dub is out. Mike Catron is up against – I'm just mentioning it again. So if B-Dub is
watching, for sure.
He is out. And Mike Catron is up against – who finished fourth? Pardon? Mitch. That's right. Mitch did, yes. He was sort of hovering in that fourth spot for quite a while. So, yeah, so it was a tight finish. So I'm glad I just snuck in there. I don't know how I'm going to go against Rhett this season. He's beaten me twice, so I'm going to need a little bit of luck. But it does segue a little bit into – well, I'll pop this question up, but also something I wanted to talk about. Do I have Wemby? So old man in the sea, in Chet we trust, and do I have Wemby? Yes, I have both. So I have Wemby and Chet in this league. I ended up taking Wemby with the 13th pick, I believe. Mm-hmm. I had Anthony Davis with my first pick, and then I took Wemby, and then I took, I don't know, I took someone, but I took Chet on that next turn, so at that 36-37 turn. So, yes, I do have both. And as I said, transitions into let's just talk about Wemby and how good he's been the last month. I think I went on record probably a month ago and said I'd probably take him with my first pick. It seems like everyone else is coming around and it's looking like he probably will be the number one pick next year. What are your thoughts on him for next season?
Goodness. Yeah, I mean, it seems like right now he will be the first pick. I mean, over the past 2 weeks on Basketball Monster, he's the number one player in 9 cat leagues. Past 2 months, fourth, and on the season, eighth. As a rookie, obviously, playing 28.7 minutes per game this season, 32.7 over the past week, so they're starting to ramp up his minutes a tad. I think that, I mean, if there's a chance that maybe the Spurs kind of tank the final couple weeks of the season, maybe it leaves a little bit of a bad taste in people's mouth to the point where, hey, he's good. Are the Spurs all that good? Is there a chance they tank one more season? Do I avoid Wemby? That, I think, is the only slight possibility that he won't go number one in most drafts next season. I think it's the combination of, hey, this guy's really good, and hey, this guy's really fun. Like, he's incredibly dominant, doing things that we haven't really seen. I mean, past 2 weeks, 5 blocks per game and 2.7 steals per game. Like, the 9 cap value is going to be just far and away better than everybody else if he's healthy and playing big minutes. So I'd say in the majority of leagues that we're in, that I'm in, Wemby will go first.
Yeah, I think he will. I think people just want him on their team just for the excitement and the upside. And in 8 cat leagues, he's going to be even better because I know you tend to associate guards with being better in an 8 cat because of turnovers, but Wemby's turnovers are actually really high. And I've had to bench him in industry pickup a couple of times because of those turnovers. So he's averaging 3.5 turnovers a game, which for a big man is pretty high. But if you look across the board, I'm just looking at his stats now. Over the last, it doesn't matter when you look, last week, last 2 weeks, last month, he's a positive in every category except turnovers. And I feel like I've spoken about this before. That doesn't happen very often. There's not many players. Durant is one that occasionally sits as a positive in every category. He's just going to be unbelievable. And I wrote an article and I did say for the rest of this season, I mentioned him as a buy, as a sell high. And that's not to say that I don't think he can be the number one player rest of the season, because I think he can. My thinking there was that just if you are a bit concerned that maybe he misses a game or two down the stretch, you could look to move him, but I would only consider Jokic, SGA, and maybe Luka, although that two-game week in the playoffs that Luka has probably means I wouldn't even consider Luka. So there'd only be two players I'd look to move him for. But, I mean, he's been relatively healthy, and the Spurs are bad whether they play him or not. So it's not whether they – if they play him, they're not going to sort of shoot up and miss that chance at the number one draft.
No, yeah.
So, yeah, I think you just hold on to him and ride him out the rest of the season. And, yeah, man, I've got having him and Chet in that team, it's a combination that I'm never going to get again. So I'm glad that I get to at least spend one more week with them on my roster. And we'll see. Maybe I can fluke a win over Rhett and move into the next round where I would play probably Drew, I would think.
Because
I think it would be three versus two.
Yes, it would be.
I win, yeah. So, and I beat Drew a few weeks ago. So who knows? We'll see. Maybe luck is on my side.
You have the best player in fantasy basketball right now. So
he is. He is. unfortunately for me, one of the categories that I need to win, which I don't always win, is turnovers. So Wemby contributes in everything, but could cost me in turnovers. So yeah, it's going to be tricky. Maybe a balancing act. Metalhead, also a Wemby owner here, but have fears of him being shut down soon. Playoffs start March 18th, and I'm comfortably in fourth from being down 10th. Yeah, look, I don't know. Is it something that concerns you? A shutdown? I don't think a shutdown is coming because the Spurs don't tend to shut guys down, but we did see last year Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, those guys were sort of alternating in and out from game to game. Do we think that might happen? He might miss a back-to-back and they'll just give him sort of, they might have a three-day break where they give him an extra game off to give him 5 days off or something.
Things like that could happen. I think, you know, if the playoffs are starting March 18th, then I guess that it would go through April, at least that first week of April before you end your season. So I think that there's a chance that he misses games like that in April. It just doesn't feel like that's happening right now. Like, could that change at a moment's notice? Yes. And the Spurs could just say, yeah, sorry, like, he's just going to be done for the year. We don't really care about fantasy basketball, which is fair, understandable, very possible. It just doesn't seem like he is going to be, based on everything he's said and everything he's done, like, it seems like he's going to be available if he's healthy. Now, if, you know, random thing happens and he like slightly twists his ankle, can probably play through it, they might play it uber safe and just say, hey, like, just please take the day off. We don't want anything else happening. There's nothing to play for at this point. Mm. Just please sit. And then I think that's probably the, you know, worst case scenario here is that they just are extra, extra cautious with him.
Yeah. Yeah. It is something to be concerned about a little bit, but yeah, for now, I mean, as I said, unless you can get Jokic, someone will give up Jokic or SGA. I'd just ride him out and enjoy what he's been doing. All right. That was sort of the first topic, but first topic, Celtics, pretty comfortable win over the Warriors yesterday. Warriors were just disgusting. This is, I guess, a two-part question. The first one is this the Celtics season? Like, is it theirs to lose? Because at the moment, I think they're pretty comfortably the favourite. I'm not a betting person at all. I don't look at that sort of thing, so you might be more aware. But I have to assume they're favourites to win, and they're comfortably sitting atop the East. They could basically rest their squad for the rest of the season and finish first in the East. So is it theirs to lose this year?
I think it is. I think even before the season, it was easy to look at the roster they have and say, hey, like, they should win this whole thing. Like, they're too talented. Derek White has been better than I think anybody expected. Drew Holiday, adding him in, he's won a championship before. Kristaps Porzingis is, I'd say, the third best offensive player behind Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and that's an excellent number three option right there. And then some of the guys off their bench are still playing, you know, not a ton of minutes, but playing well. Al Horford's still, you know, playing incredibly well off the bench and occasionally with a spot start here and there. But it is, I'd say it is their season to lose, but I think also we need to see, you know, it's on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's shoulders. Like, yes, the full team, it's going to require, like, it's, you know, top to bottom, that's how you win championships. But I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, we've seen times where the Celtics weren't able to necessarily get things done in the playoffs, and it does always end up resting on the shoulders of the superstar. It is Jason Tatum's team. He's the face of the franchise. It's kind of on him to get it done, even if the rest of the squad is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like they're out there to prove people wrong, because they've been in this discussion the last couple of years and they've just fallen short. So they obviously added Porzingis and Derek White last year, but Drew Holiday. So their roster now is very solid across the board. Oh man, and the CKP might even be Boston's second best player.
That's fair.
I think it's fair. Yeah, I mean, Jaylen Brown, by all accounts, he hasn't had a great year. He's been good, but I wouldn't say that he's been a standout for them at all. And neither has Tatum, to be honest. Like, he's been good. He's very good. But if we look at it purely from a production standpoint, he hasn't been as good as he has in the last couple of years. And I think that just alludes to how good their roster is now. He doesn't need to, on a nightly basis, be their best player. Derek White, there was a period earlier in the season where White was even in the discussion as their best player during that period. Not if you look holistically, but and Porzingis has been great. He's been pretty healthy. They've been able to manage him. I think that's certainly a discussion that you could have.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, the Warriors, they had, prior to last night, they had looked better. So they had been playing a bit better. Chris Paul was back. Was last night purely an outlier? It is, in terms of they're not going to lose by 50 again, but we're seeing more moments like this where they have a big loss. Steph Curry plays poorly. In the past, this was really rare. We would only see this once a season, maybe twice. Now we're seeing it every couple of weeks. Are they done? Like, is it time for them to move on? And which they have a little bit, because they're playing Podemski, they're playing Kuminga. But can they do anything this year, or is it more about building these young guys up and looking ahead to the next couple of years and making a decision on what direction to go?
I don't think you can count a team like the Warriors out ever. I mean, I think with their championship experience, they still have, you know, even if it is kind of just a shell of Klay Thompson and what he was, like, he's nowhere near what he was. Same thing with Chris Paul. Draymond is still productive, obviously older. Steph is still Steph, even if there are games. I mean, I think it's been, like, which is just insane for him, like, three games this season where he hasn't hit a three, which is just absolutely insane. And then, like you mentioned, the young guys, like Podziemski is playing really well for rookie. Kuminga is finally starting to be, I guess, like the lottery talent that he was drafted to be. So you can't count them out. I think it depends on who they match up with in the first round, assuming that they have to get out of the play-in tournament first. It is going to be tough. I think right now it's the Lakers and Warriors are 9-10, if I'm not mistaken, in the West. And so if that's the first round play-in matchup, like, yeah, but I'd probably bank on the Lakers getting it. But that, one, that'll be a really good game. And two, I just think, same thing with the Lakers, no matter how poorly they play, like, they have guys on there that have earned the respect and benefit of the doubt from everyone, that it's, you can say there's no way I'm counting them out simply because they have this player. So I'm not going to count out the Warriors unless they have, like, multiple injuries, such as one to Steph. Last night was bad. They had won six of their previous seven before that, though. So I think it was more just like a one-off thing.
Yeah, I think it was, you're right. So they're ninth, Lakers are 10th. And just looking at the standings in the West, it's very bunched. I don't really see a way for the Warriors or the Lakers. Oh, I don't know. I mean, they're close, but to move into that sixth spot, they're only sort of half a game or a couple of games behind. But the teams above them, Dallas, Phoenix, Sacramento, Then there's a bit of a gap to New Orleans. They're all playing hard, pushing to win. Like, this isn't a situation where they're gonna, where they're, one of these teams is gonna rest guys. Dallas certainly don't want to be in the play-in if they can avoid it. So, and Phoenix, I mean, Devin Booker, we'll talk about him shortly, but Phoenix are looking better. So I think the Warriors, Lakers in that 9th, 10th play-in spot is probably going to happen, and it in itself is going to be a really good game. I don't know. We'll see. But I do think that, as you said, Curry has had some games where he hasn't hit threes this year, and that was hard to comprehend.
Very out of character.
Like, yeah, that's just not him. So
just looking at the play-in right now, how crazy would that be to have Suns, Mavs in a game, do or die, and then Warriors, Lakers, and then, you know, where the loser from Suns, Mavs, like you could get KD versus Steph if they win, or KD versus LeBron or Luka. Yeah. Like, it's so star-studded in the play-in right now. It's just absolutely insane. I'd love for it to kind of stay where it is. Like, not to discredit the Kings. Like, I'm sure that they would actually probably prefer to not be in the play-in tournament, but just seeing guys like KD, you know, obviously Devin Booker is there too, Luka and Kyrie, Steph, and then LeBron and AD, just like them in the play-in tournament would just be absolutely insane.
Yeah, and then if you look over to the East and you look at their play-in tournament,
the stars are better. The stars are better.
Atlanta, Chicago. I mean, look, Indiana, Miami, they're going to be battling, but Chicago and Atlanta at this point feel like they're just sort of making up the numbers. Maybe Brooklyn can get in there, Toronto, but I don't know. Like, yeah, the West is just so stacked. Yeah. It's going to be, it'll be interesting. All right. So we've covered both of those. Some injury news. We had Westbrook go down, 3 days ago with a broken hand, about an hour after Scotty Barnes went down with a broken hand. Anyone that we're adding here, I know in as I said, two of my leagues are into the playoffs. In one of those, I dropped Luke Kennard and picked up Norm Powell last night. I'm only looking for points and threes and maybe a steal or two. Is he someone that benefits here, or is there anyone else in LA that might get some more minutes with Westbrook out?
I mean, Bones Highland's back in the rotation, but I think he played 14 minutes and didn't do all that much in their last game. Yeah. So he'll see minutes. It is going to be mostly Norm Powell that does kind of benefit, though. But like you said, you can only rely on him for threes and then maybe a steal, but it's pretty much just points of three. So great for points leagues. Category leagues, if you need that extra scoring boost, and that's what you're going to get, but not much else there.
No, there's not much. Terrence Mann, I suppose, probably sees some more minutes, but even in 26 minutes, he's not a must roster. He had been
playing well, but I think in their last game, he played less than 20 minutes in their last game. They just rolled with Norm Powell a little bit more, but Terrence Mann had been playing well, but again, it's a lot of just points. So,
yep. And then Scotty Barnes, the other player that went down with the broken hand, he went down, and then Jakob Poeltl did his ankle, and we thought, it's Kelly Olynyk time. Then Poeltl didn't even end up missing a game, I don't think, with that ankle injury. Came back, dislocated his finger yesterday, so he is now out, I believe, for their next game. I think
he's been ruled out, as has Bruce Brown. So,
okay,
a lot of minutes in Toronto.
So, first question, can we finally with confidence say you need to add Kelly Olynyk? Because I think he failed the score yesterday.
He may have, but I know for some reason he came off the bench and they started Abaji, in a small lineup, which was just very just didn't make sense as far as just matching up with Charlotte, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know if Olynyk matching up with Miles Bridges would have been much better. So maybe they decided to go with the undersized, more mobile player. Anyways, would be pretty shocked if Olynyk didn't move into the starting lineup at center. So I think we kind of have to, just out of necessity, you have to add him now. if you didn't before, like, you have to. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did. And I mean, I've had him on my squad for,
yeah, you've had him since the trade deadline.
I've had him for a while, and it's been up and down, and I've been close to dropping him, and then I've just, oh no, I'll drop this player instead. So I'm glad I held on to him. So Scotty Barnes, I mean, I think he's done for the year.
I'd be shocked, yeah.
Yeah, like Toronto don't have anything. They're not making the play-in, I don't think. Who knows with Jakob Poeltl? I mean, a dislocated finger is an interesting one. It could be 2 games. It could be 2 weeks. It just depends what other damage there was, and also whether Toronto just want to play him or keep him on the bench. Gary Trent is probably the other one who's been trending up a little bit over the last 2 weeks. He's been playing big minutes. He's been hitting some threes, getting some steals, which is what he was doing 2 seasons ago. I think that was his breakout when he
averaged. I think even last year he was still doing it.
Last year he was good. But yeah, he averaged close to 2 steals a game, I feel like, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
are we adding him now?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to, because at least, I mean, the steals may not be what they were, because last year it was 1.6 per game. The year before it was 1.8.
Yeah.
It's only been one this year, and it has been better recently. To start the season, it was very, very low. But yes, the steals have been better, but also just the shots have to go to someone. Like, Scotty Barnes is out of the lineup. Now Jakob Poeltl's out. Obviously, earlier in the season, they traded away other scoring options. So it's really, at this point, Gary Trent, RJ Barrett, and Emmanuel Quickley are the main scoring options. So yeah, I think I would be adding him. Past 2 weeks, Basketball Monster has him 84th, 14.3 points, 2.3 threes, 1.2 steals. That's doing most of the work there. But yeah, I'd be adding him.
And you mentioned Basketball Monster there. I'm just going to throw this question up. I know there are some questions there, so we will get to those as well. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the answers, guys. With regards to fantasy analysis, what data visualization tools can we use to determine best ads and drops? There's a few out there. You can just use the ones within the platform. So ESPN, Yahoo, Fantrax. I don't know about the other ones because I don't use any of the other ones, but they all have their own rankings, numbers, projections, that sort of thing in there. Basketball Monster, hashtag basketball are both viable options as well. Is there any in particular, like, do you have a go-to or you just use what's on the platform that you're playing on?
I pretty much only use Basketball Monster. I think what I've been trying to reference, especially when I'm writing blurbs, reference points leagues, I've been using hashtag basketball more. But for category leagues, I pretty much just use Basketball Monster just to, we've talked about it on here before. It just makes it very simple, easy to look at. Green is good, red is bad, just very simple stuff. I just think it displays it well. So,
yeah, I use both. I tend to use Basketball Monster a bit more as just my default, but I do use, like, Fantrax have their projections and things like that. But it's more about looking at, when you're looking at who to add and who to drop, just look at recent production, and you can do that with any, because that's not someone's subjective opinion. It's what have they been doing? What have their minutes looked like? What are the other injuries to players? So there are plenty of options out there. But yeah, I tend to go with Basketball Monster as well. The Jazz. So we felt like this was probably coming. Lauri Markkanen is out with knee soreness. Is that what it is? Quad contusion. So there you go. There's a general injury. Deontay George is questionable with an illness. Walker Kessler is out. Is this the start of the Jazz heading down this path of, we're just not going to play our guys, we're going to give young guys plenty of minutes? And if so, is Taylor Hendricks someone that needs to be added now?
Yeah, I guess it actually seems like it might be kind of the start of that, because the Jazz didn't play yesterday. They played the Heat the day before. So it's not like a back-to-back rest or anything like that. So yeah, unfortunately, I guess it does kind of seem like this might be kind of the time of the year where the Jazz kind of pack it in and say, we're just going to roll with the young guys. I think that is really good news for Taylor Hendricks. I know a lot of dynasty managers have been very high on him. Dynasty analysts have been very high on him. So seeing him get those minutes will be fun. I think he's a guy that has a lot of upside defensively and has already shown some pretty solid games as a rebounder. So I think he's a guy that's going to be very productive down the stretch, especially if we continue to see Lauri Markkanen out of the lineup. But yeah, I mean, other side of that is Keyonte George. I guess it's an illness, so maybe it's a little different, but I know we'd love to see him play if they're just going to full on tank. But Bryce Sensabaugh is another guy, I think, just to keep an eye on, just their other first round pick. But I think Taylor Hendricks will be the guy that, as we've kind of seen since the trade deadline, just going to step into more minutes and continue to get better as he plays.
Yeah, I'd keep an eye on their rotation. I think Hendricks is probably the obvious one. I don't know if they'll get to a point where they want to rest Colin Sexton. I mean, he's had a really good season. He'd probably just want to continue playing, given how well he's going out there. But maybe Chris Dunn. I know he's not necessarily part of their future, but he can be a silly season guy, because if he, for some reason, they elevate him into a 26 or 28-minute role. Kira Lewis would be someone else if they picked him up at the deadline, and if some minutes open up, he is someone I think that could have a role down the stretch. But it's just hard to know at this point. But yeah, I do think Hendricks is probably the obvious one. He's played at least 26 minutes in 5 straight games. Good rebound numbers. He'll get you some defensive stuff. So yeah, I think there's enough there for pick him up now. He's doing just enough, but in 2 weeks he might be doing more than enough. So I like where he's headed. The Nets. So looking at the schedule this week, the Nets have a very rare nowadays 5-game week. I don't think we've had has anyone had a 5-game week this season? I don't think anyone has. I don't think so.
I'm gonna see if I can quickly figure that out. No, I think this is. Oh, actually, yeah, no, just them.
No, just the Nets.
That's okay. That's it. Yeah.
So the only 5-game week of the season. So who are we cashing in on the Nets? For me, I wrote an article for RotoWire last night about sit start in weekly leagues, and I included a couple of Nets in that article, and that was Dennis Schroeder and Cam Johnson. They were the two that I mentioned that you could start for this week. Who are you looking at in Brooklyn for this week?
I think those are probably the two main guys. I know Cam Thomas and Ben Simmons are already ruled out for tonight's game against Memphis. So definitely Schroeder's going to keep starting, and he's been playing really well. Cam Johnson played really well against the Hawks, but I've actually been kind of looking at the numbers, writing blurbs for those games, because generally I write about the Hawks games. But Cam Johnson in 4 games against the Hawks this season has scored 23, 17, 29, and 23 points. So he seems to really like playing the Hawks, but obviously against everybody else, he's been pretty bad. So hopefully he's able to kind of keep this thing going, because he's been really good the last 2 games. But it would be crazy if he's just like overall just incredibly bad season to his standards, except against Atlanta, for some reason he decides to hit all the shots. But I'm more optimistic that it's not going to be this random thing of, for some reason, he plays well against the Hawks. I think he'll be able to keep it going. So he is a guy that I would definitely add. The only other guy that maybe would be worth looking at, I guess, would be like a Dennis Smith Jr., because he's been pretty solid. But I think the minutes aren't there consistently. The production isn't there consistently, like enough for me to spend an actual roster spot, spend fab on him, anything like that.
Yeah, and I think the Nets, so looking at the standings again, they're 11th currently, 2 wins back from the Hawks, probably arguably playing better than the Hawks at the moment. So there's a chance they could push it, and they don't have their draft pick, I believe, the Nets. So there's no incentive for them, because I think I'm getting questions about do we add De'Ron Sharpe? Is a Nick Claxton shutdown coming? Are they going to play Dennis Smith more, that sort of thing? I don't think they will. I think they just want to keep winning. And that 10th spot, the final playing spot is up for grabs because the Hawks are not playing well. And Trae Young's out.
Nyeka Okongwu's
out. Okongwu's out for the next couple of weeks. So I think they're coming for that last playing spot. So I don't think there's a world, not at the moment anyway, but revisit this in 2 weeks and maybe the Nets have lost five in a row and the Hawks have won four in a row or something like that. Seems unlikely, but you have your Hawks shirt on there. Maybe
I do.
Maybe you're more confident than
the
me.
Nets are making the play-in. The Hawks are not. I'm just going to say that while holding this up so everybody can see it. Nets next four games, Memphis and Philly at home, and then in Detroit and in Charlotte. So I'm assuming that there's a good chance that they stay hot and win most of those if they play well. But the other thing there is Kevin Ollie's kind of coaching for his job because he's just interim. It's his first head coaching job in the NBA. So if things go well and he gets into the play-in, maybe he sticks around or maybe he earns, you know, consideration somewhere else. So I just think that between that and the no draft pick, like there's no reason for them to ever pull the plug on their season. It's going to come down to the very end. And Atlanta, if they start or keep losing, then there's no reason for them to just keep trying to make it to the 10th spot in the East, just to potentially lose. If not, you know, if they make it out of the play-in tournament, win two of those games, then probably losing by a lot in four games to Boston. So I think it's just far more likely that Brooklyn makes it at this point. Even, I mean, they're down two games at this point in the standings because they just beat Atlanta twice. So,
yeah. And I know, I mean, we know Chicago are going to try and get that ninth, eighth spot. That's what they do.
They didn't want to do too well. They wanted eight or nine. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, that's where they hang in that area forever. All right, so I'm just going to bring up some questions now and go back to the top of the chat. Better way to start the week. I don't think there is. So Kingy and the Rube, Kingy and the Sandwich, or Kingy and the Ark.
Oh, man.
You got a preference there?
I say, I don't know which one, but I say we take one of those and make it the name of a show. We have to do that at this point.
We could. I mean, we're on the show every week together. So,
yeah
we could do that. We could call
it. We'll have to decide on one of those.
Yeah, we will decide on one of those. all right. Where are we? Here we go. Amen Thompson. So, Matthew Walsh, thanks for joining us. Amen Thompson has popped up on waivers. Should I drop Neesmith for him? 12-team ESPN points. Final start this week, but I have the bye. So, I guess the question here is, beyond this week, who would you rather have, Neesmith or Amen Thompson in a points league?
And it's an ESPN points league, so those are end up being a little different. So I'm actually trying to quickly look because I'm in one ESPN points league with some friends from college. So I'm just trying to see Neesmith. The last two games he's played, or so he's averaging 25.6 over the course of the season, but actually that's probably not as important. I think at this point I'd lean Neesmith just because Amen Thompson is coming off the bench. The minutes haven't been there quite as often with Fred VanVleet healthy. So I think I would lean Neesmith, though his past two games since he returned from injury haven't been great.
No, they haven't. But I think that the Pacers who are in that sort of playoff race, play-in playoff, so they're 1.5 games behind the Magic, 2 games behind Philly, with Miami sort of sandwiched in between them there. Pacers need Neesmith playing well to compete and be a good team because he's their defensive sort of wing guy. So I would lean Neesmith. I just think his role is a little more secure at the moment. I do think if they were playing the same, if they were both playing 26 minutes a night, I'd go Amen Thompson. I think he has higher per minute upside, but given where their roles are at the moment, I would go Neesmith.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Hot take from Old Man in the Sea. If the Lakers get the 8th spot, which they very well could, and play OKC, it's their easiest playoff opponent. So what? Yeah, I mean, look, I think both OKC and Minnesota are sort of yet to prove themselves in the playoff arena. If the Lakers did get to that 8th spot and came up against OKC, who do you think would win that playoff series?
Goodness, none of. So they play tonight, but the Lakers have won two of the three games that they've played against the Thunder this season, which is interesting. That's just looking at the schedule, not actually looking to see if everybody that could have played in all those games. But I don't know if it's their easiest playoff opponent. I think it is a good matchup in the sense that Anthony Davis should have no problems with Chet Holmgren and just overall like their lack of size outside of Chet. I think it's Bismack Biyombo and Mike Muscala behind Chet and Jalen Williams when he's healthy. Not exactly, the crew that's going to slow down Anthony Davis. I don't think it's the easiest matchup. I think I would still pick the Thunder. I think that was also kind of something where we saw last season, every time the Lakers ran into somebody, the Lakers are definitely winning this until they ran into the Nuggets. But even before that, people were still picking the Lakers, where I think it's something that we just see it's LeBron James, see it's Anthony Davis, and give them the benefit of the doubt that nobody's going to beat them in a playoff series. I think that's something where it's LeBron and AD. Like there's a chance they win this series every single time. But no, I think the Thunder have enough depth and enough of an advantage at the guard spot with SGA and Jalen Williams on the perimeter. I know Josh Giddey's been disappointing this season, but no, I think I would still pick the Thunder over the Lakers. I get the idea of it's a better matchup for Anthony Davis than, say, Minnesota would be, because they obviously have two bigs down there. The other teams up top are Denver and the Clippers, but those are the teams that have a chance of right now being one of those top two teams are the Thunder, Timberwolves, and Nuggets. So,
yeah, they are. Yeah, they've got sort of a two, three-game buffer on the Clippers. I just think from the perspective of as a neutral fan, I'd love to see OKC and Minnesota both get through to the second round, win a playoff round. I just think for their fans and for the league itself, it would be great to see two young teams like that getting through and some of these more like the Warriors, these teams we've seen there for so long, actually having to go, okay, we're not as good as these teams now. We need to choose a new direction. So, yeah, looking forward to the playoffs, no matter who the matchups end up being. So Steve asks, what do you do if you picked up so many rest of season guys like Miller? I'm assuming that's Brandon Miller, Keontae George, Ayo Dosunmu, that you don't have any more streaming spots. So if you've – and look, it does happen. If you've picked up, I don't know, for example, Ayo, if you picked him up a month ago as a streamer, but he's turned into a must-roster guy, and that happens. That you do luck out sometimes and land these guys that in your mind you're just picking them up for one or two games, but they're playing so well, their role is so big that you just have to hold on to them. Would you, if you had, say, these three, for example, or in any of your leagues if it's happened, what happens if you have built your roster to a point where it's hard to drop anyone? But as we know, streaming is extra important during the playoffs to get as many games as possible.
I think it's just kind of a tough thing in the sense that, you have guys you don't want to drop, but you're probably going to have to just make tough decisions and drop someone in order to open up a streaming spot. And hopefully you just continue to stream them so that you drop them and then try and just add them back up. And if you lose out on them, then I guess have a backup plan. I think it is something where you'd rather have that extra game and just continue to have more games played than somebody like this, like a Brandon Miller, Keontae George, Dosunmu, where, they're playing really well, but would you rather have two games from two other players or one game from them? I think it is a tough cut to make, but it's one that you kind of have to do out of necessity and then just hope you can add them back.
Yeah, and of course it depends on your league settings, your depth of your league, rosters, that sort of thing. Like in a shallower league, if it's a 10-team league, for example, you could probably drop someone like Keontae George and then pick up an equivalent player, because most teams, if they're still playing, are going to be streaming. So there will be – someone might drop Oh, I don't know. Who, let me have a look. I don't know. Maybe someone like a Jalen Green might get dropped. And you need points, pick him up for two games. He might give you 40 points, he might give you 20, and then you drop him. So there will be fringe guys that are dropped because of schedule. That'll be so if there's a team that doesn't play for three nights, someone will drop someone who's a borderline top 80, top 90 player because they want to stream someone in who plays potentially two games in those three nights. So if it's a slightly shallower league, it's a little bit easier because you'll be able to salvage it and pick up someone else. If you're in a standard or a deeper league, 12 or 14 teams, a little bit harder because these guys are sort of, you would look at them and go, I need to roster these players. But yes, it is good to have at least one streaming spot, I think. And you just have to make that tough call sometimes. How many low usage players are okay to have on a roster? So with having basketball Paul Reed and Caruso, I'm a bit afraid to pick up a third low usage player like Trey Mann or Gary Trent. What do you think? And there's some clarification here. Just to clarify, mostly because they provide low amount of points, hence in PO, points only. Playoffs, hence in playoffs. When there are teams high on points, multiple games from these low usage players might lose me the points category. Look, I think, it's very build specific. If you're, because in, I mean, my mind goes to my industry pickup league and I'm punting points. So I have a lot of low usage players on my team because I couldn't care less if they score points. So it does depend on your build a little bit. And heading into the playoffs, I mean, I've talked about this, I've written articles. It is the time, if it's a head-to-head category league where you only need to win 5-4 or depending on if it's a 9 category, now is the time when you want to focus in on your strengths. So if points are a strength of yours, then you probably don't want too many players that aren't going to score a lot of points. Although Gary Trent could score over the next couple of weeks with injuries could be decent. But Terrence Mann hasn't been scoring a lot. Paul Reed doesn't score a lot. So now would be the time when you want to focus on your strengths and maybe look to punt one or two categories if you're not already. What are your thoughts on this heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that's kind of like what you said. It's a good point of you need to find your strengths. And it also kind of depends on who you're matched up against, because you just have to win 5-4 every week. You don't have to worry about anything else. So I think he added in the caveat as well in another message that he's top three in points in his league. If you're playing against the number one team in points, then don't stress it, because you can probably win five other categories. Just let them win that one. But if it's against somebody else that's a little weaker in points, then if you're able to get that done without stressing about it, then you're able to do that and probably have a little bit of wiggle room to add in other guys. So I think, like you said, Gary Trent Jr., I wouldn't consider a low usage guy, especially if Scottie Barnes isn't going to be in the fold. Like, he's just going to have a lot of points in order for them to even compete in games. So, I think you just have to look at each matchup and say, okay, can I win five categories? Is points one of them? Does it matter at that point?
Yeah, and I think during the regular season, you're always looking ahead. What who's coming up? Where am I sitting in the standings? In the playoffs, it's really your focus narrows to this week. I've got to win this week, because you could look ahead to the next week and go, oh, if I win, I could play this team who isn't good at points, so maybe I can get rid of some of these points guys. But you've got to win this week to get to next week. Very different mindset to the regular season. And I think this links in a little bit to this previous question we had, where rest of season guys and who can I drop, who do I stream? Your matchup could answer this question for you. Because if you're, for example, in a league where the team you're against is first in assists and you're seventh in assists for the season, you're probably not going to win assists this week. So Keyonte George might be expendable. So have a look at the standings. Have a look at who you're against, where you sit in each category. It's the first thing I do in the playoffs and in most weeks, to be honest, but in the playoffs especially, I will look at the season standings for every category and have a look at where I sit in relation to my opponent and go, okay, I'm good at this, I'm good at this, I'm good at this. There's usually going to be one or two categories that are a swing category. So steals, you might be fifth and the other team might be third. So maybe I need to stream in someone like if Caruso is available, stream in a Caruso, stream in Dennis Smith, especially with five games. So that's sort of, I guess, these two questions linked together a little bit in that I would have a look at who you're against, what your strengths are, what their strengths are, and base it on that. Does low usage translate to more points, or is it dependent on that specific player? Yeah, look, low usage doesn't really translate to...
I think he clarified in the next message he meant high usage.
Oh, high usage. Does high usage translate to more points? Not necessarily. High usage players tend to be your higher scoring, but it's usage, I believe, is how a play ends. So it's scoring or shooting the ball, turning the ball over, shooting a free throw. So there is a correlation there, but it's not necessarily set in stone that a high usage player is going to be a high scorer. They do tend to be that way. Like you look at your Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Wemby, these guys, they have their ball in their hands a lot. So their usage is pretty high. I mean, do you factor in high usage at all when you look at streaming or anything like that?
In a sense, yeah. So Basketball Reference's definition of usage percentage is an estimate of the percentage of team plays used by a player while they were on the floor. I think looking at what the usage of a percentage of a player has been over, X amount of games, I think it's kind of just similar as looking at, what we were talking about, last five games, what are their points, rebounds, assists, minutes, like what's all that looking like? Usage percentage is something else you can look at in the sense, this player is not only, or maybe this player is seeing an increase in minutes because somebody in front of them is hurt, but their usage rate isn't all that high. Their numbers aren't all that high. And I don't know if I'm super interested in this player because yes, he's on the floor, but he's not really doing anything. Or, this player isn't really producing that many points or assists, but his usage rate is really high. Like, why is that? And then you can also probably look and see, the field goal percentage is low. And so it's not directly correlated, I wouldn't say, but I think it is something you can look at. So the top five in usage percentage are Embiid, Luka, Giannis, SGA, and Anthony Edwards. So it is, it's not directly correlated, but the guys that are, it just kind of depends on your team. So those guys are the stars of their team. They're going to have the ball in their hands the most. So,
yeah,
for example, I think everybody kind of knows that Cam Thomas is a guy that is, I think the term like a black hole on offense is very negative. So I don't mean for it to be that negative, but he's 12th in usage percentage because when he's on the floor, like he's going to touch the basketball. That kind of thing.
Yeah, Julius Randle is another one.
He's 19th this season.
Throwing into that sort of doesn't like to pass the ball once he gets it. He's handy for assists, but yes, once you get the ball to him, he's doing his spin moves and trying to score. Looking at it, there's a calculation thing here, and so we were right. Usage is calculated by looking at how a play ends. And that includes field goal or free throw attempt or a turnover. So they're the three ways that a play can end. And it's then divided by team's total field goal and total free throw turnovers. So there is a formula to working that out. And if you scroll through the list, a lot of them are high volume scorers, but there are some that aren't. Nikola Jokic is a really good example. He's a very high usage player, but he's not a high volume scorer by any means. If you look at all of your top 20 fantasy players, he only averages closer to 20 points than 30 points. So a couple more I'm going to let you go and I'm going to go, but there are some more questions coming in, so we'll get to those. Just dropped Leon over the weekend. Was that a mistake? Should I re-add with the Brunson injury? What do you think? Do you think Boyan gets a bump? I mean, you would have seen the Brunson injury. It didn't look like an ACL to me, and we haven't had any indication that it is an ACL. But would you be looking at picking Boyan up, given that they're without OG Julius Randle already? Does he have to play, or will they? Are they just going to give Alec Burks more minutes? Deuce McBride's going to get more minutes.
I mean, the thing with Tibbs is he's not going to like ever feel like he has to do anything. Like, Jalen Brunson got hurt 47 seconds into the game.
Yeah.
And Miles McBride, Deuce McBride, played 47 minutes and 13 seconds. So Tibbs is going to do what Tibbs wants to do.
Yeah.
Nobody else played point guard for the rest of that game. Alec Burks played 11 minutes. So Bogdanović did play 30 minutes last night. Or, yes, that was yesterday. And he's, I mean, if they need offense, like, he's probably the most proven scorer on that team. I think Dante DiVincenzo's obviously been playing incredibly well, so I don't think his shots are going to go away, but I think they're just going to need another offensive option. So I would think that Bojan Bogdanović would be a good player to add. However, Tibbs is going to do what Tibbs wants to do, so it's hard to definitely say, even if it does make sense, it's hard to say, like, yes, this is what Tibbs is going to do 100%.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's pretty clear that he's not a fan of Bogdanović, given that he doesn't play a lot of defense. So he's not in Tibbs' sort of good books. But at this point, he doesn't really have any options. So he has to get him out there for his scoring. So, yeah, look, if he played 30 minutes last night, we don't have word, as I said, on the Brunson injury, whether this is going to be a couple of games or 2 weeks. I hope for the Knicks' sake that it's not 2 weeks, that it's just a game or two. I think he's probably worth grabbing. If you're just looking at points and threes and free throw percentage, if he's playing 28, 30 minutes, then, yeah, he probably should be rostered. I think so. The rest of the comments are all about usage, so that was a good discussion. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to go. Take me later. What have you got coming up this week, another episode this week?
I think another episode this week, but no idea what that's going to be on yet. So we'll see. But something this week, I'm starting to make more of a plan for what, like, after the regular season is going to look like, to hopefully, because things will calm down for me with blurbing, so, or continue to gradually slow down. But hopefully being able to do more podcasts consistently. So starting to develop a plan for that, to hopefully not just be trying to get an episode out every week, and hopefully it'll be more of a plan with better planned out information, fully fleshed out thoughts, as opposed to just trying to do something every week just to keep things going. So excited for what I'm going to be doing in a little over a month. And then I'm assuming things will continue one episode-ish per week. And then obviously the Roto World Q&A tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time that we'll be doing.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll be on tomorrow, same time. And yeah, I think much the same for us. I think give it a month, 6 weeks, fantasy is basically going to be done in terms of this season. So we'll be looking ahead to next season, and we'll have a bit of a plan as well for this show. And we'll probably just continue to do this show every week, just because it's a time that works for both of us. Yeah. So, I know some analysts don't like looking ahead to next season. I have no issues looking ahead to next season way too early, because it's just fun to talk about. And so, we'll continue to roll the content out. Follow both of us. I'm at AdamKing91. Noah is at NoahRubin22. We are at FBI Basketball. On Twitter as well, fbibasketball.com. Our Discord server tends to pick up a lot of steam in the off-season because Dynasty stuff ramps up from both yourself and Matt Lawson as well. So head over to the website. The link to our Discord is over on the website and also in the show description. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitter. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Go and subscribe. Go and like. That would be amazing. Thanks for joining me, Noah. We'll be back next week. We'll be back tomorrow on Roto World. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.